I want to tell you, I enjoyed myself last night. I told somebody here a little bit ago that Bethel Baptist Church didn't show up last night because Baptists don't have that much fun.
You're right.
I don't know who that crowd was, but they weren't a bunch of Baptists, amen. I tell you what, we laughed and carried on. I had got in my car last night. There was two messages on my phone, and of course, it was after 11 o'clock, time I got back to my car. Then over here by the pastor's house, so I called the one fellow this morning. He goes, "Why didn't you call me back last night?" I said, "It's after 11 o'clock when we got home." He goes, "You went to a Valentine's banquet, and it was after 11 o'clock before you got home?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "This Christian nightclubbing's killing me, man. I'm telling you what. But, dear Lord, I'm telling you what. It's getting me down, amen." Now I want to do something. The teenagers are raising money, right? To go to camp.
Yeah, they are.
Amen. Now, I've got something here. That's all right, sis. Don't have a heart attack. That's all I care about. Amen. Now, there's all the stuff that's on that table. There is nothing like this. I can tell you that right now. There's only two of these on the entire building, probably in the entire state of Ohio. I'm serious now. So if you would like to invest in the teenagers and have something that only I have two of. Now, some of you know what's in here, amen. Smile at me now. Come and see me after the church. We'll sell it to the highest bidder. After you look at it, you probably won't want it. But anyhow, I love it. Somebody said, you get upset when people do stuff like it. No, I don't. What is in here, I wouldn't do this to you. I'll take them home and do something with them. But anyhow, there's cupcakes, but they have peas in them. Peas. Well, last year I made the statement, and it's true, there was no peas in the Garden of Eden until the devil came. You study your Bible, it's true. Amen. I've done an extensive Bible study about this stuff, man.
That meatloaf,
yeah, amen, brother. And somebody in this room gave me a can of peas last year. And I still got them. They're on the shelf. I haven't ate them, amen. I can guarantee you. But then this year I got pea cupcakes, amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Does that bother you?" No. I'd rather people feel that comfortable than you.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir, amen.
I'm just like you, man. I'm just a human being, you know, saved by the grace of God. Tell you this tonight, this has been on my heart all day. We've been praying today for the country of Bulgaria. Bulgaria, of course, is in southeastern Europe, right next to Romania. It's right on the Black Sea. I've been almost to Bulgaria. I haven't been there. I've been to Constanza, down to the southern part of Romania on the Black Sea. My wife and I have stood on the coast of the Black Sea, watched the tides come in. Beautiful place. But interesting, got some friends, people I know that are in Bulgaria as missionaries, doing tremendous work with the Bulgarian people and with the Turkish people. A lot of Turkish people fled out of Turkey into Bulgaria. They're doing tremendous. But I tell you, probably one of the most heart-rending things I've ever saw in my life was in a slide presentation one night with a missionary going to Bulgaria. And he showed the picture. All the country pictures and all that, you know, and you just went, man, that's something. But then he flashed this picture up of this man and his wife who had was driving 2 hours to church. It was 2 hours one way to go to church. They'd gotten saved. They'd drive 2 hours to church. Well, they wanted a church in their town. So this family went out and bought a building. And there's the picture of this church building. I mean, it's done. It's got pews in it. It's got a pulpit, Brother Rod, communion table. And they said, all we need is a preacher.
Yeah.
Well, this missionary is on deputation to go to Bulgaria to be their preacher.
Yeah.
And he's there tonight, praise the Lord. And brother, I tell you, just Brother Turner, a tremendous young man there, reaching those people with the gospel. It's interesting, 7.4 million people in Bulgaria. You said, preacher, there's missionaries there. Yeah, but near as I can tell, there's probably 12 or 13 missionaries So you're talking millions of people to be reached by just a few. Harvest truly is great, folks. The labors are few. People say, well, I couldn't do nothing, go to the mission field, do anything for God. I'm retired. I'm older in age. Won't you tell Don Hodge that?
Yeah. Amen.
72 years old, going to language school.
Yes, sir. For Cuba and stuff, right?
Don't tell him. Don't tell Verlis Collins that. Verlis Collins, at 72 years old, moved to the border of Texas so he can go across the border with his son to teach in a Bible institute in Texas to train Mexican nationals to preach the gospel and build churches. 72 years old. God's got a place for you.
Yep. That's true.
Amen.
Right.
Boy, got quiet, didn't it? Take your Bibles, find 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to try to be nice tonight. Amen. But I want to say something else to you tonight, folks, and I hope you'll take it in the right way. I love your pastor, his wife, his family. And I see something here you don't see. I looked at it again today. I've preached in 600 churches in America in the last 20 years. Some of them wouldn't have me back if you paid them to do it, which is all right with me, amen. I don't particularly want to go back, amen. But I've learned to tell the hirelings from the pastors. We got a lot of professional preachers in America that call themselves pastors. But we got a few shepherds. And let me just say to you tonight, God sent you a shepherd. I told him last night. I could count on my hands, probably wouldn't take but one hand, at the times I've heard a pastor say to his people, I love you.
Amen.
Well, I've heard him sit at the table and berate the people and talk about how bad their people are, get up in the pulpit and rake them over the coals. But to see the man of God from his heart, you better not take that for granted. I get these young preachers call me all the time. Preach, you know where there's a church? You travel all the time. You know a church looking for a preacher? And the first thing they'll say is, I'll say, yeah, I know a couple. Well, do you know what the benefit package is?
Wow.
Do they have a parsonage? Do they? I said, yeah, I know what the benefit package is. About that time, they're ready to hang up on me. They said, what's the benefit package? I said, you got the benefit of preaching the gospel every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night. Win people the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Do something for God. About that time, you hear a click on the other end.
Yeah.
Huh? Shepherds don't do that. They go to a city and give their life to reach a people. And he didn't ask me to say that. Boy, got quiet tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's Saturday night. I want to try to get you out of here early because I don't know how Baptists are. You keep them up late on Saturday night. They don't come out on Sunday morning. It's amazing they can get up early and go fishing on Sunday. They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go deer hunting, but they can't get to church on Sunday. But that'll be all right. Amen. Boy, got quiet. I'm glad to see some of you young couples still married tonight, too. Amen. Praise God. I was a little worried last night, amen. And I got in trouble last night. I asked Josh, I said, what are you waiting on? And somebody went, ring, you know. And I'm like, okay. I thought they was already engaged. I thought this was a done deal, amen. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that, amen. Praise the Lord.
We're working on it.
There was a young, I do have to tell you this, I'll get to that. There's a young couple down in Kentucky. They were trying to get married, and Brother Wayne had to have knee surgery. And I was preaching that night, and I said, y'all know why Wayne had to have knee surgery? I said, he wore that knee out asking Jerry to marry him. That was about the truth, too, amen. They dated, I don't know, 4 or 5 years before they ever got married. She just wouldn't do it, and now Now she's waiting and somebody else will do it. But anyhow, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to read just a few verses. Look in verse 8. He said, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now watch this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now watch, this is one continuous statement. And then he said this, but ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Verse 11 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians is missions in one verse. Now, we got to get ready for tomorrow. Folks, tomorrow is the greatest day of the year at Bethel Baptist Church. It should be, amen. If you don't think that, there's something wrong with you. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Tomorrow, the church has a business meeting.
Yes.
You know what? You say, preacher, business meeting. Yeah, tomorrow you're going to cast a vote whether people in this world get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ or they don't get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're literally voting on tomorrow in your faith promise giving is if people go to heaven or if people go to hell. And it's important. Hey, folks, eternity weighs in people's minds and people's lives. And what will they get or not get by what you do tomorrow?
Right.
That's how serious this is, amen. That's how important this is. That's how serious it is to God. People say, well, I heard a lady say to me one night, she said, well, missions conference is something you preachers dreamed up to get some more of our money. I said, man, if we wanted to dream up something to get more of your money, we'd have a spaghetti dinner every Saturday night.
Right.
Because I know how Baptists are. You
right.
get something for what you pay for, you'll give it easier.
Yes.
Hello?
Yep. Right.
But you are getting something for what you give, amen?
Yeah, amen.
You're getting the opportunity to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ
yes.
to a lost and dying world.
Amen. Yes.
And people on the other side of the world are waiting to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch how Paul comes to this verse of Scripture. He says, he talks about how that they were in trouble in Asia. Hey folks, listen, I don't have time, but it's amazing to me that we just do not stop and think about what missionaries and people are living through in the other side of the world. We were just in Honduras, and we were getting ready. The missionary called and said, can you go with me? And I said, sure. And then the day I said I could go, he sends me an email. He said, you maybe ought to read this before we go. Now, Honduras has the highest murder rate of any Central American country. They're trafficking to drugs out of Colombia through Panama and up into Mexico and eventually into America, and they come through Honduras. And it is a very volatile country right now. And you read this, and they were giving advisories from the United States Department, the government, not for Americans to go out at night, to be careful what you do, don't go out by yourself, only go out in parties, and you know. And folks, then you get down there and you start listening to these people about some of the things that they face in their lives, the drive-by shootings that transpire. One of the young men in the church was telling me about how him and his friends were out at the soccer field playing soccer one night. And he said, the next thing we hear is this motorcycle comes flying up to where we are. Man pulls out a gun, bang, 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 shoots his brother dead right in the middle of the soccer field. He said, I'm the one that picked my brother up and carried him to our house to tell my mom and dad what had happened to them. Hey, folks, this is how they live. We have no concept some days in America how people live, let alone missionaries living in that country. Huh? Paul said we were pressed out of measure, above strength. But why? He said so that we would trust in God that raised the dead. Hey folks, listen. Sometimes I think God's allowing a few things to happen to America so that we would learn to trust God like we should, instead of trusting our economy and trusting our government and trusting ourselves. We're going to need to learn to trust God. Amen. But now Paul sets the stage and then comes to verse number 11. And he says this, but ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now watch how he goes through this. He said that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. The first thing you have in this passage of Scripture is the gift that is given. Hey folks, listen, hey, put your hand in there and go to Philippians chapter number 4. Paul talks about this gift. Philippians chapter number 4. Hey folks, listen, there has to be people that are willing to give. The givers must give. Look in Philippians chapter 4. And in verse number 17, Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Hey folks, listen, missionaries cannot go. The work of God cannot be done unless we give. Amen. Hey folks, you people say, well, what's this faith promise card all about? It's so you can determine what you're going to give. Amen. Okay, say amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't like this stuff. Well, too bad. That's the way it's going to be. Amen.
Yeah.
Talk to God about it. And there was a gift that was given so that they could go. And notice how this thing, he said, the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. I mean, now, look, can I give you missionology 101, okay? You understand what a missionary goes through to get to the field? I mean, that missionary, it's a staggering thing. A missionary right now, they say, will make 100 phone calls to book one meeting.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And once he's booking these meetings, of the meetings he goes into, 1 out of 4 will take him on for support. Now, the average missionary is raising somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000 a month support. You said, preacher, why in the world would they be raising that much support? Well, I don't have the time to explain it all to you. Just understand some folks, it's not like living here in America, amen. I mean, first thing you got to keep in mind is a missionary is funding the whole church until it gets going, amen. I mean, you look at your church budget, how you're paying your pastor's salary, paying the utilities on the building, paying the assistant pastor's salary, everything you do, that is done collectively. But when a missionary starts a church, he's the only thing there. So he has to pay the electric bill. He has to pay, buy the hymnals. He has to rent the building. He has to pay his salary, amen. So he's carrying the entire church budget. So they're raising. And then you go to some of these places like Brother Stanley going to Australia where it's going to cost you $600 a week to rent a place to live.
Wow.
Not $600 a month. $600 a week. Gasoline, $7.50 a gallon. Huh? We got a missionary going to Japan. It's $2,500 a month to rent a place to live. Smile. I mean, it'll be all right, amen. And so they're raising $5,000 to $7,000. So let's take $5,000. The average support of a missionary is $55 a month. So he's going to have somewhere close to 100 churches.
Yeah.
At $55 a month.
Right.
To get his support together so he can go to the field. But to get those 100 supporting churches, he's got to get in 400 churches. And we wonder why missionaries are taking 3-4 years to get to the field, because they got to do all this work to get there. But here's the thing. To think about it, 100 churches the size of this one, say 100 people, that means 10,000 people are pulling their resources, and by the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons. Hello? That's how a missionary gets there. People say, well, is that biblical? I think it is. I think you follow the Bible. But when you get to Acts chapter 13, where they sent out the first missionaries, Paul was sent out of the church at Antioch. But you get to 2 Corinthians 8, and he said, I want to tell you about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, not a church, the churches of Macedonia, how they communicated unto him in giving and receiving and giving a gift so they could do the thing. I believe it's scriptural for missionaries to have multiple churches supporting them, and by the means of many persons.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
The gift is given so the missionaries can get to the field. Now go back here to 2 Corinthians 1. So you have the gift that is given. Now notice what he says here, and I'm going to tie this all together. This is fun once you get it all tied together. He said that for the gift that is bestowed upon us, for the gift bestowed upon us, underline that. For by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Who's the us? Who's the our in that passage of Scripture? That's Paul, the missionary. This is Paul, who God called and sent to the mission field, who's writing back to the church at Corinth that he started at in Acts chapter 16, after the Macedonian vision, after he heard the call, and he went over there and preached the gospel, and the churches got started. Now, this is Paul writing back to the church, and he said, the gift bestowed upon us. See, you have a gift that is given, and you have people that are willing to go.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Now here's where it's going to get to be fun tonight. It's fine. Let me say amen.
Yes.
I want all the young people in this room, if you're 20 years old or younger, to stand up. Come on. Now I want you to come up here and stand in front of it. Watch it, brothers. I said 20 or younger. I want y'all to come up here. I want y'all to come up here and stand right across this auditorium. Smile at me. Not too many churches on a Saturday night. You're going to see this many young people in church.
Amen.
That's me. It's exciting. Amen. But now here's the question. You're not willing to give the money in the offering. You're not willing to give what God's going to want one of these days.
Yeah.
Oh, got quiet, didn't
he? Yeah.
What are you going to do, Mom? What are you going to do, Dad, when God calls this young man to the mission field?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when God calls these young ladies to marry some crazy preacher and follow him off to the mission field? Amen. Aren't you married?
Yeah.
we need to talk. See, why is God teaching you to give now in faith promise? Because you can learn to trust God.
Yes.
You can learn to have faith in God.
Yes.
Hey, why should you teach these young people to give to missions so they can learn to trust God? Amen. Because then when God comes by and says, I want you, you don't have any trouble responding and trusting him. Amen?
Right.
But more than God teaching them that, he's teaching you.
Amen.
That if you can trust God with your bank account, and you can trust God to take care of your needs, you can trust God to take your son or your daughter to the other side of the world.
Amen. Right.
Because it's not just giving, it's going.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And right here is what God wants. Get mad at me.
That's all right. Come on.
So you're putting pressure on our kids. That's you should have been here Thursday morning in church. Am I right? But you young people understand something. I may preach your hide off, but you call me at 2:00 in the morning, and I'll be there.
Yes.
And that's not a lie. That is not a vain promise, son. Because you are one.
Yes.
Right.
You are what we need.
Yes.
I don't know what God does in your life, son, but you are what we need.
That's true.
And you know what, Mom, Dad, you know what God is teaching you in faith promise? He's teaching you to give. But if you can't let loose your wallet, you'll never let loose your kids.
That's right.
And if you don't let loose your kids, that's why we've got enough. We got missionaries on the field that the average age right now is 62 years old. That's why missionaries are coming off the field because of health reasons. They're coming off the field because they can't stand the rigors of the mission field anymore. And where are one? I said it the other night, only one out of every 100 kids in Bible college today are headed to the mission field. Why? Because I've heard their parents say it.
Right.
God can do anything he wants with my kids. Those of you take them out of my sight or out of this country. I'll guarantee that's the same crowd that doesn't give to missions.
Yep. Yes.
Hello?
Yep.
When the givers give, the goers can go.
You're right. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, young people.
probably made some parents mad on himself.
He said, you shouldn't put that kind of pressure on them. I'm not putting pressure on them. If God wants them, he'll take them.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
I'm just waiting for John Boy to meet that right girl and put him back somewhere in the backside of Russia or Siberia. Woo! Or someplace, man. Introduce you to some Eskimo girl, man. Put you over there. You rub noses. Learn a new vialic. Hello?
Yeah.
See, preacher, what are you trying to say? Givers give so the goers can go.
That's true.
And it's a sad thing in America today, folks. The missionaries got to work 3 years, 4 years.
Yes.
What are they waiting on? They're waiting on the givers to give. Hey, Brother Mel, I'm really praying. I got an application coming of a missionary to the Philippines. I'm really praying. I want to go back to the Philippines so bad. I love it over there. I've asked God 100 times, let me go to the Philippines and live. Huh? Missionaries on deputation right now begging to go. I stood with a missionary one night. He was over there. The whole story. He was over there in Thailand, started the church, got the ministry going. Then they were pulled off the field and had to go back to the United States to raise support. And he stood there with the pictures of those Thai people in his hand. And he said, preacher, why am I here? Missionary Preston Smith going to the country of Japan. Tremendous young couple, 6'7", going to Japan. Isn't that something? Amen.
Yeah.
6'7", going to Japan.
Yeah.
But you know what happened? God sent his dad to Japan. And Preston Smith grew up on the field of Japan. He speaks Japanese fluently. He doesn't have to go to language school. He's teaching his wife, Abby, Japanese while they're on deputation. The day that I met with him about helping him and his church to send him to Japan was 2 days after the tsunami hit Japan. And he's sitting at Tim Hortons and wept tears and stained the table and said, preacher, I don't want to go on deputation. I want to go help my people.
Yeah.
What's he waiting on? There is people that want to go. The goers will go. They're waiting for the givers to give.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only thing keeping them from doing it. Missionary we took to Honduras, Brother John Stamen and his wife, they're at 60% of their support. He said, preacher, I will be here in August. It doesn't matter what happens.
Amen.
The givers give, the goers go. Now come back to this passage of Scripture. Here's our problem in America. He said, and thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Notice that little word there. Thanks may be given by many.
Yeah. Right.
There's people waiting on the other side of the world. I got a letter this week from Brother Robert Mickey. Brother Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You all support him?
And we took his 2 children on. College.
Man, tremendous, man, tremendous.
Yeah,
I preach with Brother Mickey, preaching that.
Yeah.
I'll never forget preaching in that Bible Institute, 125 Kenyan men training for the ministry. I preached 7 days on faith, promise, missionary giving. Those men went back to those village churches and started teaching faith, promise to those village churches, and they're now sending men to the Congo.
Yes. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, they're waiting.
Yes.
There's people waiting. And there's been waiting for the gospel to come to them and somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. And one of these days, a missionary is going to show up and he's going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And they're going to get saved. And they're going to say, thank God, a missionary came.
Yes.
Now, see, here's our problem. See, they're not going to say, thank God for Bethel Baptist Church. When Don Hodge goes to Cuba and those Cubans get saved, they're not saying thank God for Bethel Baptist Church. They're saying thank God for Don Hodge. He brought us the gospel, amen.
Amen.
And thank God there's some people getting what they need, amen.
Yes.
They're getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in our American thinking, if somebody isn't patting us on the back and telling
right.
us what a wonderful person
right.
we are,
right.
we don't do it.
Yeah, amen.
You get past that and think about the end.
Amen.
You know, people, listen to me. Think about teenagers all over this world that never heard about Jesus Christ.
And if you just would give something, maybe some missionary can go and they can get saved. Wouldn't you want somebody to come tell you the gospel if you lived on the other side of the world? Instead of what do I get out of it? What do I get out of it? You're going to get something out of it, amen. But you don't go into it thinking, what can I get out of it? There's people traveling all over America preaching this get-rich scheme of missions. The more you give to missions, the more God is going to give to you. And you get, I've heard him say, you give to get, you give to get. No, you give so they can get.
Yes.
You give so they can hear.
Amen.
You give so they can go. You Amen. Give so the gospel can get there. You give so churches can be started. And if nobody ever comes back and pats you on the back and tell you did good, one of these days you'll stand before God and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful
yes.
servant.
Yes.
You will get a reward one day.
That's what counts. Yes.
Now watch this. See, when the givers give, the goers go and the getters get.
That's good. I like that.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, folks. I'll never forget in the Philippine Islands, Brother Mel. I preached one night in this church in this big tent meeting. That tent wasn't as big as this building. And there was 1,500 people in that tent.
Wow.
There was...
Some grandkids got saved. Hey, folks, listen. They're getting what they need.
Amen. Yes.
Oh. But they'll never get it. Unless somebody goes.
Right.
And people can't go unless we
give. Right.
That's how important is what you do tomorrow.
Yes.
Because if you don't go, give, they can't go. Now here's what I want you to think about.
What if God called one of these young people? How would you want somebody to give to them?
That's good.
Yeah. Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Would you want every church to treat them like you treat every other missionary? How would you want people to pray for them? How would you want people to give to them?
Watch this, and we'll tie it all together. You think I was kidding when I said I'm going to get you out of here early so you come back tomorrow, amen?
So watch this.
When the givers give,
and I'm not telling you to do something that I do not do.
Right.
You, if you want to, you call Pastor Don Snow. It's 330-339-1035 and ask Pastor Don Snow, does Robbie Morrison give to missions? I don't care. Call him. And I give now more to missions than my tithe is.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging about that. I'm just telling you I've got to that point in my life where I can trust God.
Amen.
Right.
Because, see, folks, I understand this principle. If I don't give, they can't go.
Correct.
And if they don't go... then nobody gets what they're
right. That's correct. That's it.
That's missions.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
Yep.
But can I just tell you one thing? What we're trying to teach you and teach everybody in this room, there's something bigger some days you're going to have to trust God for than this money. I don't know if I told you this or not. I'll tell you this when I'm done. My wife and I just spent 2 weeks in Mozambique, Africa, South Africa. Tremendous trip, tremendous people. We stood on a street corner in Maputo in Mozambique, Africa at 115 degrees, passing out tracts, talking to people about the Lord. Never got more than 5 feet away from a truck, and we gave away 5,000 tracts in less than an hour. Just we finished a tremendous trip. We come back. We're sitting in Johannesburg, South Africa on the plane getting ready to leave when all the lights went out. They came on a little bit later and they said there was a thunderstorm in the area and the lightning hit the jetway and ran in the plane.
said, we're going to have to fix the plane before you leave. I thought, yeah, that'd be a good idea, amen. And so they come back an hour later, said, we got the plane fixed, we're going to leave. They shut up the plane, they backed away from the jetway, and we're taxiing out to the runway, and you could smell this burnt smell in the plane. I said to the flight attendant, I said, is everything all right? She said, oh, yeah, they got it fixed. I thought, okay. So we took off, 18-hour flight, nonstop, Johannesburg, South Africa to Washington, D.C. We took off about 38,000 feet. I looked up, and the smoke is filling the front of the plane. And they're moving people from first class back to where the Baptist seats are in the back. You know? And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, all the lights in the plane went out. That little spiel they give you when you get on a plane, if there's a power outage, that there's emergency lighting on the floor that'll lead you to the exit, that's not a lie. It does work. That's all you could see that night as we smelled the smoke. Then I heard what has been etched in my mind for eternity. Man comes on the PA system and he said, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing trouble. We're getting ready to turn back to Johannesburg, South Africa. We're making preparations for emergency landing. He said, we want you to take off your shoes so you won't get your feet stuck in the inflatable device you're about to jump into. Do not take anything when you leave the plane, only your personal items you have on you. We'll be in Johannesburg, South Africa in 23 minutes. Looked out the window, it looked like the wings were on fire, Brother Ron, Brother Rod. Found out later they're dumping jet fuel out of the wings. They dumped 21 ton of jet fuel in the next 23 minutes out of that plane. Because two things I found out they knew is you can't land a plane as heavy as it took off. When they take a plane off, they expect on burning up the jet fuel, and you can't land it as heavy as when it takes off. Second thing is they dump the jet fuel when they got a fire in a plane because if the fire breaks out, it'll minimize the disaster. Yes. And there we sat in the darkness, didn't we, hon? Where did I learn to trust God? When I got married, a preacher said, you know what you ought to do? You ought to tithe. And you ought to give the faith promise.
Yes.
And trust God. And I learned to trust God. My wife and I sat there and held our hands and prayed and said, Lord, if this is it, it's been a great life. Ask Him to bless our kids and watch over them. He said, was you nervous? Was you scared? Yeah. If I'm going to die on the side of a mountain, I'd rather do it in West Virginia, amen. Not in a burning airplane in Johannesburg, South Africa. Hello? There's situations coming in your life, folks, where you're going to have to trust God. And God's teaching you how to give so He can teach you how to live. Amen? That's the key right there. And our son Tim started talking about going to North Carolina. I said, you going to ask for help? He said, did you ever ask for help? Amen. He said, I watched you and Mom trust God. Watched you and Mom pray through it. He said, God did it for you. He'll do it for me. Amen. That's why you need to give, Mom and Dad. So your kids can watch. So your kids can watch you trust God. Tim called. I don't know if I told you this story yet or not. I told somebody today, Tim called one day right before Christmas, and he said, Dad, you should have been here. What thrilled me is more than what God did for them is what He did to show my grandkids. They were going through Walmart. week before Christmas. Tim had the three kids. They're looking at groceries, picking up some groceries. Sarah's out buying Christmas gifts for the kids. This man walks over to Tim and said, "Are these your kids?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You still married to their mother?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Here, Merry Christmas, son." And dropped a $25 Walmart card in his hand. It's not the $25 Walmart card. It's the God of heaven showing those kids.
Yes, he can provide. Yeah.
Tim said, he turned around and said, "Look, kids." And they were like, "Man, look at that." Tim said, "I turned around to say thank you again to the guy," and he was gone. 'Thrilled me that God would reach over and take care of my kids like that. But it thrilled me more for my grandkids to see mom and dad trusting God and God provided. They'll grow up saying, "God did it for grandpa and grandma. God did it for mom and dad. God will do it for me. What do you want me to do, God?" When the givers give, the goers go, and the getters give. I wonder how many people are lost tonight, and I'm not, because God called somebody to go, and they never went. Or they started to go, and got so discouraged with deputation, they quit. I wonder how many people are still waiting for the gospel.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times in the last 6 months I've heard, "Well, we were going to go to the mission field. We were headed here. We were headed there. And now, well, what? Tell them people at the judgment seat of Christ, cast into eternity without any chance of hope of Jesus Christ, why you didn't go. I think it comes down to this. They didn't learn to give. So they didn't learn to trust God. So when God called them to go, they couldn't trust God to go. So because they couldn't trust God to go, people never got what they needed on the other side of the world. And I want us to take time tonight to ask God, "What do you want me to give?" So they can go and others can get. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. I pray, Father, you'd move in our hearts tonight as only you can. Speak to us, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed.